Well, everybody, welcome to episode 262 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of softball here in a little bit. But right now, my first guest is a realtor, a Coldwell Banker, and she's been a frequent guest on the podcast. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me, Dan.
You bet. Well, we got a beautiful day today. How's your summer going?
Not too badly. I guess I'm easing into it after a crazy May-cember.
Well, are you pretty busy right now? Do you have a lot of clients looking for homes?
You know, that's a great question. I think historically and across the nation, June is the busiest real estate month across the country. I don't know if people realize that, but just as I settled, like a lot of people are settling in from a really busy May. A lot of life changes happening. Graduations are concluding. People are getting married. People are starting to think a little bit more about their home needs. So. With that, weather's conducive, so we have more buyers entering the marketplace, and also more sellers are deciding, hey, it's the time to list their homes. So it's a good thing for both parties, but it's also, I think, important to work with a seasoned professional to help you achieve your goal, whatever that may be.
Well, I was going to ask you, because I know when my wife was interested in looking for a new home a few years ago, I mean, she just happened to spot a house online that she was interested in, so that's kind of what sparked our interest. And is that what most people should do? I mean, should they get a hold of a realtor first, or should they go looking on their own first?
You know, it's super competitive right now, and I think working with a professional, yes, I know there's a lot of online sources now for people to kind of browse, but it's important to know that a lot of the realtors, they have access to those new listings ahead of you guys seeing them on those online sites. So again, we have sometimes it's what we're networking within our own offices, and Ankeny is a great community in terms of brokerage cooperation in general. Today's Wednesday and tour day, so you see a lot of your local friends in the industry, and again, we're sharing that information. So you know about properties sooner, so you can have a chance to get in quicker. And then also know how to structure a strong offer, especially if there's going to be a multiple offer scenario, which we're seeing more of that right now, too. Again, a lot of people are wondering, inventory's been so suppressed for so long that we're starting to see it inch back up and to be more of a balanced market. For those people kind of wondering what exactly a balanced market is, anything less than 5 months of inventory indicates a seller's market, and once you get between 5 to 7 months of inventory, it becomes more balanced. The playing field is a little bit more even, and then of course anything over 7 months of inventory in an area ends up becoming a buyer's market.
Well, it's been about a month since I talked to one of your fellow realtors, so what are the market rates doing now?
Market rates are still around 7. I think people are getting a little bit more comfortable with the fact that we are not going to see anything like 3% or, you know, high 2s anytime soon. I know a lot of the predictors of what rates are doing, a lot of them have been predicting, and unfortunately what they're predicting hasn't come to fruition. I think they're right now, all of the major indices are saying that, you know, we can probably expect maybe 6.5 second quarter of next year. But again, people are realizing, hey, life is happening, so people need to move regardless of rates are doing. And they're getting more comfortable with the fact of, yeah, they might have to consider refinancing if they can find the perfect home now and get what they need.
Do you have any specific properties you want to talk about?
Like I was saying, the market's heating up. There's more homes coming to the market. Same as with new construction. And we're always starting new properties at all times of the year, but now we're starting to see some of our winter new starts coming to completion. So we're buyer ready. Just like most sellers are trying to be buyer ready, knowing there's more buyers in the marketplace, they're motivated. A lot of people that are trying to get placed before the next school year, they're making quicker decisions, they're making stronger offers. So if you're priced competitively and fair market value, I tell people all the time, you know, sometimes they want to price high and just see what happens. But when you do that, sometimes you lose valuable marketing time and you might be shooting for one buyer versus being seen by multiple buyers who all appreciate your value, and therefore they might overbid on your property, resulting in a higher listing price in a shorter amount of time for you, the seller.
Well, hey, Rhonda, if anybody has a question for you, if they want your expertise, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
They can certainly find me at Coldwell Banker here in Ankeny. Of course, my number has been the same, 515-975-3735. Or I'm on the Coldwell Banker site with my first and last name at cbdsm.com.
All right, that's Rhonda Dix, D-I-X, for those of you who don't know how to spell. So, hey, Rhonda, thanks a lot for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is a sponsor of the podcast as well, and MJ is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic, so I just wanted to give MJ Properties a shout-out. We certainly appreciate their support. All right, well, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny softball team, which just rose to number 7 in the latest Class 5A rankings. He has guided the Hawkettes to a 5-5 record thus far. He is Dave Bingham. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, Dan. I thought we'd be number 1. Why are we not number 1? I mean, I don't look at them, but yeah, it's funny that it popped up on my phone. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we're number 1. We're always number 1, right?
There you go. Well, you guys have already had some ups and downs this season. You know, it seems like every year has its own unique challenges, and you guys have certainly had to deal with some adversity, haven't you?
We have, and I've talked to you about a couple of things that we had before the season, and you know, we talked about Lauren Fisher a little bit. She's a special kid, and I think that's why we coach. I know not a lot of people know about that, and I haven't checked with Fish and her family, but they're just amazing people, and she had a liver transplant in the off season. So, you know, you do have to have the culture first, and you've heard me preach that all the time, but working with young kids is great. That aside from the injuries and those kind of things, softball does things to you that you can't control. And sometimes we've been there, whether it's Brett and I have been together, or a lot of these softball coaches, unless you're coaching Oklahoma or Texas right now, right? But sometimes the bats, and you're just in games. In this league, you're just, every game you're in can come down to the wire. And it is mentally, emotionally, and physically exhausting. Especially with all the school going on and everything. And our league right now is, you know, with those 9 schools in our league, obviously there's some that are going to compete for a state championship, but even the ones that aren't right now have improved. So we're going to have to get used to that adversity. And you know as well as I do, horse racing or whatever, it's like, who is that athlete or that competitor that starts to buy in and enjoy those moments? Nintendo's done a good job of that the last 2 years. And so when we've had the winning success, it's finding a way to just enjoy that tightness. And so we're dealing with that right now. And I think this group is learning. It's a different group, and the culture is really strong. I love them. And, we got to find a way to like soak into that. Like, oh gosh, we're going extra innings again. And we're pitching a no hitter and, you know, just first round state tournament. You were there last year.
Oh yeah.
Same way. And you have to like, is that 7 kid in the 7 hole that hasn't hit a homer going to do that? That's what happens, right? So if we can find that magic, maybe we'll win the rest of them. Because we really do have the kids to do that, even with injuries. We have the kids to do that.
Well, yeah, coming off a 31-8 season in a state tournament appearance a year ago, your team was ranked 5th in the preseason. But then your top returning hitter, All-State catcher Cassie Johnson, injured her foot during a loss to Centennial at the Johnson Tournament on May 24th. She's been out of the lineup ever since. Now, I see she's wearing a boot or a cast or something. So how is she doing, and what are the chances that we'll see her again on the field?
Well, it's every day with her. I mean, she's with us every day. So I don't delve into the injury status. She'll let me know when she's a go, and the trainers will. And she'll play again, I'm pretty sure. And we'll figure out what that role is. But her role right now is to continue. She's just part of the staff, really. And, I mean, you got to ask her. She knows these pitchers, just like Mara. Who will come in here in a little bit with Abby. I mean, they know the staff really well, all 3 kids that will throw for us, and, you know, who knows who will come in. But her job is to keep the pulse of the team going, keep that culture piece going. She's been, I think she's very upbeat once she had the injury and realized it. And now I can just look in her eyes, and I know as an athlete, like, she's ready to play again. So when that moment comes, you know, she'll respond well. She always has. And yeah, she's a great legacy player.
Well, Cassie already had 2 home runs and 5 RBIs in the first 3 games of the season, you know, so that obviously takes a big bat out of your lineup. You know, you're going to need some of these other kids to step up in a big way, aren't you?
We do. We do, and they know it, and they're feeling it. And so I think when they have a little bit of success and we start, because even after we lost Cass. We really responded well against Hempstead, and the kids played well. And I think then the realization, oh, we don't have her, and we went to that Saturday, and we faced a really good pitcher in the ADM pitcher, and I talked to you a little bit about this. She's good as Abby, you know, she's a tough kid, and I think it's like, oh, you know, so we got stuck, and we're kind of in that mode right now. We're trying to maybe get some small ball going, some execute some things, and then that puts other pressure on. But we've got kids that can hit, so we just need to get a few games where we, our goal is 7 runs a game. I think Rasmussen, I talked to him about that a little bit, and I'm like, we got to score 7, you know, and back in the day, and he's like, yeah, you do now, and I'm like, 7, then get to 20, so I think we've got to stay with that mindset, stick with the basics, try to find a way to score 7 runs, no matter what that looks like.
Well, yeah, you scored 31 runs in your first 4 games, but then struggled a bit at the plate over the last couple of weeks. You averaged just 2 runs over the next 6 games, and as a team, you're now batting 220 for the season. And like you mentioned, you ran into some tough pitchers there at the Winterset tournament, and then you had that 8-day layoff before you returned to action earlier this week. And I don't know if your team has ever had a full week off during the middle of the season before. That certainly wasn't ideal, was it?
Never. This season, it's hard to schedule games, and it's hard to get games, so we had to pack as many in as we could to get the 40. The girls get tired of me hearing that every year, but we got to play 40 games. I mean, that's why we do all this workout stuff, is to play 40 games. And so it's hard to get people to play, especially when you got Abby Rusher and Aubrey Lensmeyer and Cassie Johnson, Mara Hansen, all these kids that contribute. So it was really odd, but they had graduation week, and I think that was good. It was a special Sunday for them. And all things considered, I mean, that game that we played Monday night was very similar to a state championship game. It was probably one of the best softball games you'd ever be involved in, with us getting a hit and Nelly getting a walk-off against a really good pitcher. And the eighth grader that throws for Joaquin Northwest is as good as the ADM pitcher. We've seen her, the kid from Norwalk, and we've seen them all in Boyle kid. So we've got to enjoy winning 1-0, 2-0. We're going to have to figure that out. It's a lot easier to coach when we score, you know, 7 runs, Dan, and if we hit 50 homers on the year, it's a lot easier, but we're just going to have to pick it up in the bottom lineup, and I know we will.
Well, yeah, you guys were able to beat Joaquin Northwest 2-1 in 10 innings in the first game on Monday night, and Northwest is the new number one team in Class 5A. You guys handed them their first loss of the season. Your pitcher, who's going to be in here shortly, Abby Rusher, gave up a leadoff homer in the first inning, but then was pretty much unhittable the rest of the way. She finished with a 4-hitter and 5 strikeouts. I mean, what can you say about that performance?
Well, I think she's mad. I mean, I think she wanted to pitch the next game, too. I mean, it's really, you're trying to balance that season and health, Dan. But I wanted to give her just a mental blow, and if we needed her, and we did bring her in late, maybe I made a mistake there. Aubrey was pitching pretty well, but we just made some mistakes. But I, you know, back in the old days, sometimes you rode your number one, and you might throw them every game, but we're very talented on the mound, so I want to balance that so that she's fresh, but maybe I got to keep giving her more innings. But, yeah, she's looking at me like, I'm ready to go at any time. I feel good, coach. And, you know, you got to make sure you take care of their health, not just for now, but for long term. So I'm trying to keep an eye on that. But, yeah, I wouldn't be afraid. Like, if we were forced to say, hey, Abby's going to have to pitch every inning, she'd probably be like, okay, I'm good with that. So when she's on, it's pretty much every time she takes the mound. I mean, sometimes it looks like maybe the velocity isn't the same, but she finds a way to spin it. And in this league, if you make a mistake, they'll hit the ball. So she will give up a homer now, and then that's fine. You got to live with that because she throws it up. But what a luxury to have. I mean, we've had some great ones. You've seen them. You saw the great, great ones back when I was in high school and college. You got to see some of the greats, but she's right there. Just because of her mental toughness and her willingness to do whatever it takes and pitch. She'd pitch every inning if I'd let her.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Well, and you mentioned the walk-off hit by Avery Nelson. Ironically, she also had a walk-off hit to beat Northwest in 10 innings in the game last season. You know, so does she have a knack for coming out big in those moments?
Yeah, isn't it weird, athletics, how, why did matchups and something like that matter? Because it wasn't even the same pitcher. She's really elevated, and you're going to get those moments if you play and you're in our lineup, you're going to be in big moments. It was interesting against Northwest last year, the two balls that she hit really well against them. One was a walk-off where she hit it oppo down the line, which is something that we just preach and teach, and great for her. It was a big moment. And then she did that to them later on in the season too, when we played that consolation game. So they put like a shift on her, and I really thought she'd actually maybe turn on one and pull it down the line because she's swinging it now too. But she, you know, they had a shift on like three. She still was just hit right on the bag. I mean, it was a great approach. And what I'm grateful for her and our hitters that are making adjustments, and she's one of them, is she stayed away and she hit the ball hard on the ground, hit a line grab instead of in the air. And with her speed, you know, she could have 500, 600 on base percentage. So good for Nellie.
Well, your team did have a chance to get a sweep that night. You had a 6-5 lead after five innings in the nightcap, but Northwest then scored two runs in the sixth and three more in the seventh to rally for a 10-6 victory. That allowed them to get a split. You know, but you do have to feel good that you guys got the bats going pretty well in that game. Aubrey Lensmeyer hit her third home run of the season, and Kensington Erringdale went 3-for-3 with a homer and two RBIs. Erringdale now leads the team with a 5.88 average. You know, I haven't had a chance to see her play yet, but do you think she has a chance to be a pretty special player?
Yeah, there's no question when they come through. I mean, you can go back to Kendall or Cassie or some of those kids when they first come into your program. You're like, okay, you don't have to think very much. You can just see that they have a lot of gifts. So, yeah, she's always going to be rock solid, and she'll be one of those kids that will be playing. You know, I think she loves the game, so she'll play at a high level when she's done for here. So our goal always is when they're here is to just – understand how much fun it is to play high school. And you know, she gets to go to Creston this weekend. I mean, how great is that? I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Creston?
Oh, for sure.
Softball, so
I played in a basketball tournament there a while. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's I think it's great for her to get this opportunity to play with and get to be around girls like Abby Rusher and Cassie Johnson before they leave, and Mara Hansen, Ava Tomlinson, and the way over. I mean, we just got such a great group with Lily. All those seniors, I probably left one out. Make sure I don't. But Hannah Hauer, obviously the smartest kid in Ankeny, so it's just a great group for her to get to know before she leaves.
Well, your team will play a doubleheader at Urbandale on Thursday, and if you could get a sweep there, that would put you at 5-1 in the conference. I know it's early, but you know, if you could do that, do you feel like this is a team that could contend for the conference title?
Oh, I do expect to win the conference. We expect to win a state championship. I mean, that you have to think that way, or you don't put on a Hawkeye uniform. I never even thought about that. I forgot that we swept Waukee already. Things have so to get a split is going to happen. I thought if you were going to X and O it from the beginning of the year, probably four wins, four losses, you know, in our league, 16 games, you know, 12-4, would give you a pretty good opportunity to win the league. So I think we're in pretty good shape now that you say that, now that we're 3-1. We don't talk a lot about conference championships. That was really something that was something special for me and you, your mm-hmm. our era growing up. The ultimate goal is to win a state championship. The one external goal is always going to be there. But that would be an accomplishment in this league with, you know, the Johnston, Valley, Centennial. I mean, it's loaded.
Well, yeah, I know you guys don't put a lot of emphasis on that. But like you said, it is such a good conference. And if you can win the conference, I mean, that shows you how good you've been over the course, you know, of a whole season and how impressive, you know, that would be. But I did want to get your quick thoughts on some of the other teams. You've seen the defending state champs from Centennial just once in that tournament game at Johnston, and you did have the doubleheader against Northwest, but you haven't played the likes of Valley, Southeast Polk, and Johnston yet. You know, so what do you think of Centennial squad? Do you think they could be as good as they were last year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that, you know how it carries over. When you go on those runs, it's hard to get back sometimes, and then it's hard to lose that power when you have that confidence. And they're definitely playing with confidence. And Jordan, she's just a special kid, and she's been fun to watch grow over the years. I don't even know, she's still an underclass. I don't know if she's ever going to graduate.
Right.
she's been there forever, but no, they've got a good foundation, and with the star back there catching, you know, they're still solid. And those are things that you gotta have. So they got high IQ players, and they got pitching. So. I can't wait. I mean, that's why we do this. It's going to be fun to play Urbandale tomorrow and then get a chance to come back around and play those teams in our league. Valley and Johnston obviously are good. I mean, Polk and Dowling and Urbandale, they haven't been lighting it up right now, but they've improved a lot. And they've had some kids coming to the program that made them better. So that's the thing, Dan. You talked about winning the conference. If you consistently win this conference, it's really going to help you not – the fact that you earned it, but what it does for you by going through that stretch, and you're going to have to win some close games, and that's going to help you in the postseason. So it really is a good point, and it's something that, you know, we'll strive to do. But I really couldn't tell you. I mean, Northwest obviously got off to that good start, and that kind of sends a message. But records, you know, didn't really affect us in that first game. We hung in there and found a way to win. So.
Well, and I see that their eighth grader hit three bombs the other night, and she's got eight on the season now. Is she like a future Kendall Lindemann?
You know, and I think Kendall hit 11 her eighth grade year, so we'll see. They'll definitely be after the film, some adjustments. And you know, same thing, Jordan hit us pretty hard when she was an eighth grader, and then you make adjustments. And I think the first time around, sometimes there's an aura too, and I think that they haven't. That's the thing about going through our league, and then you play these teams over and over, and then they make adjustments. And sometimes that doesn't affect the kid till their junior or senior year, where, you know, even like Kendall didn't get pitched to.
Right.
You know, obviously when we played her, you know, because, you know, she was like a kid to me, right? We just went after her, and she enjoyed that. I know we still walked her occasionally, you
right.
know, in certain situations. So they'll have to start dealing with that. But we certainly, at this point, will not pitch around kids unless the opportunity. We did put her on, I think, in the top of the seventh or top of the eighth or ninth of that game and got out of that inning. So when they're swinging a hot bat, you've got to be aware. I don't know. I'll have to watch her a little bit closer. She was definitely impressive when we played her, but I know the girls, I know Abby said we'll want to throw to her still.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you mentioned that you guys are playing that Crescent tournament this weekend. So how many games will you play down there?
We'll play four. We'll have two on Friday and two on Saturday, and it's a mix of opponents. You know, we'll get the Atlantics and teams like that. And, you know, you got to be on guard because every once in a while, like when we went down to Winterset, you know, those kids are – that kid from ABM was throwing hard, and the Winterset pitcher was good. So it's fun to go down there. It's a trip that we used to just do two games, but when we want more games, and Preston said a couple of years ago, yeah, we can get. So we took more games. So we'll stay all night at Swick, and, yeah, it's we'll go to Pizza Ranch. I mean, what else would you want to do on a weekend?
Well, with the two games tomorrow at Urbandale and then those four, I mean, do you feel like this would be a good opportunity for your team to, you know, maybe get those bats going?
We're
going to
swing it, man. I mean, we got so many mottos that I run by the kids, but the 4-H is really important. I had, when I first started coaching, some of my 10-year kids always make fun of me, and then I think one of them wrote, like, a paper in college about it. So some of those things stick. But the 4-H's, you know, we're just like, we're going to hit, we're going to holler, we're going to hustle, we're going to play hard. And the hollering is a communication thing, too. I mean, we want the dugout to be fun, but, you know, we have to be a hitting team. I've always wanted to be a hitting team, and we were really blessed. When I came in with Farmer, like, you know, we're just loaded with hitting, and that first year that I was the head coaching, you know, Kendall hit her 24, so it was kind of fun. When we hit 50, almost 50 home runs, it's really easy to coach. So that makes it easier. Even though we are not putting the ball in play and we're our money ball that we've had to do over the years isn't quite there. We're still hitting the ball at the ballpark. So if we can hit a couple out and let Abby and Lindsay and Miller go to work, you know, maybe we'll play defense and play for the three-run, or Earl Weaver that hit the three-run home run and try to win games. But you can't stick to a formula right now. We got to see what we are. But, yeah, I would like to. I'd like to be a little more money ball, find a way. Because I measure our kids on on-base percentage. I really don't look at batting average. I never have. We've got kids like Ava Tomlinson, and we got a freshman out of lining right now, and they're getting on base. And their hits will come because they're seeing the ball and they're being patient. So sometimes getting hit by a pitch isn't the worst thing in the world either, you know. But we just got to find a way to get on base. And then I think it'll build confidence.
All right, Dave, well, hey, I appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah.
It's a busy week for you, but good luck the rest of the season.
I appreciate it, Dan.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a senior pitcher for the Hawkettes, and she is a Creighton recruit. She has compiled a 3-3 record with a 0.60 ERA this season, and she has racked up 46 strikeouts and 46 in the third innings, which obviously averages out to about a strikeout per inning. She is Abby Rusher. Abby, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Thanks for coming in. We talked with Coach about, you know, some of the challenges you guys have faced this season. You know, overall, how do you think things are going?
I think they're going pretty well. Like you said, we faced some challenges, had some losses that we didn't really mean to happen, but we faced some good competition really early on, so that was good.
Well, that was definitely a tough break when you guys lost Cassie to her injury, and I'm sure that has forced you to work with some other catchers more than maybe you would have otherwise. Has that been a little bit of an adjustment for you?
Yeah, I mean, Cassie's great, but getting to work with other catchers have different assets, different qualities, so it's been work, but like good work for both of us, I'd say, on both ends.
Well, you certainly had a great performance in the pitcher circle on Monday night. You were pretty efficient. You only needed 130 pitches to get through those 10 innings against Waukee Northwest, and you even came back in the second game to throw 24 more pitches to get the final five outs. You know, so what pitches were working for you that night?
I'd say my rise ball. I'm definitely pretty dependent on that. And then my changeup was really good that night, so that helped a lot. Got a lot of ground outs or like bat hits in general to get them out.
Well, you made just one mistake in that first game, and that was the leadoff homer by Sophia Schlater in the first inning. You know, so did you just catch too much of the plate on that pitch or something?
Yeah, first batter, I was struggling a little bit, and so, yeah, just a little flat.
Now I haven't had a chance to see her play, but I see in the stats that she had two more homers in that second game, and she now has eight on the season, which is tied for the most in the entire state, and she's just an eighth grader. You know, do you know anything about her before that game or before the season?
Yeah, some of my teammates, they knew about her, like they played with her before, so they were like, they made me aware that she was a pretty good bat. We knew going into it that she was good. I just missed my spot, so.
Well, I know it's early in the season, but I see that you have lowered your ERA from a year ago by more than a run. Your strikeout rate is just a tad bit lower this season, which might be a reflection of the competition you face, too. But are you pitching any differently this year, or are you trying to let your defense, you know, maybe work for you more in certain situations?
I'm throwing my changeup a lot more, which that usually results in, like, hits, but normally more bad hits. So it's more, like, consistent. I feel like I'm getting, like, outs more consistently, but maybe not always a strikeout.
Well, we talked with Coach about the team's offensive struggles a little bit. Now, last year, you had a very productive season at the plate. You batted 364 with one homer, eight doubles, and 34 RBIs. But you are off to a little bit of a slow start this season. I see in the stats that you've only struck out four times, so you've obviously been putting the ball in play. Have you just been hitting the ball right at the fielders a lot of the time?
Yeah, I haven't been the most luckiest batter. It's been quite an unlucky start for me, so.
Is that kind of frustrating?
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating knowing, like my season that I had last year with hitting, so just trying to get back to that.
Do you think with Cassie out of the lineup that maybe you and some of the other girls are pressing a little bit to try to pick up some of that slack?
Yeah, it's definitely like known around the team that like we have to try a little bit more to kind of replace that gap that's now in our lineup, but we're just coming together and making it work.
Do you think, you know, if Cassie can come back later, that maybe this will be a little bit of a blessing in disguise because maybe it's giving some other kids a chance to play and get some experience?
Yeah, there's definitely kids getting opportunities that they wouldn't have normally gotten, so I think it's giving them a chance to prove themselves and like giving them some reinsurance and like some other girls.
Well, we talked with Coach about your upcoming schedule. You guys will go to Urbandale for a doubleheader on Thursday. Then you'll play four games in the Creston tournament this weekend. Do you think the rest of this week will give your team a chance to maybe get on a roll a little bit and build some momentum for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident we'll definitely get some wins out of this week and this weekend. So we should get our confidence back up and just continue to roll from there.
Well, Abby, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your softball future. I mentioned that you have signed with Creighton. I was over in Omaha a couple of weeks ago for the Big Ten baseball tournament, and that's a beautiful new stadium that they have over there. And I know that's not where the Creighton softball team plays, but, you know, were the facilities over there one of the things that you liked about the school?
Yeah, I liked the facilities. I also loved the coaching. I really felt supported there with the head coach specifically, Coach Wood, because she's a pitcher, and I really related with how she, like, teaches her pitchers. So.
Now, do you think you'll have a chance to step in and maybe contribute right away?
Yeah, that is the goal. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, Abby, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior catcher for the Hawkettes. She is Mara Hansen. Mara, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, we talked with Abby a little bit about how the season is going thus far. You know, how do you feel like the season is going?
I feel like it's going pretty good. Winning-wise, it's a little rocky, but I think culture, we have a lot of that, and the team's really bonded overall.
Well, you're one of the catchers who's had to pick up the slack following the injury to Cassie after she got hurt in that game versus Centennial. You got the start against Dubuque Hempstead later that day, and you went 1-for-2 with a double in the Hawkettes' 11-3 victory. And, of course, Ava Tomlinson went behind the plate against Centennial after Cassie left the game, and she hit a home run later in that contest. So do you feel like the two of you, along with Madison Myers, you know, you've shown that you can do the job?
Yeah, I think it's something that throughout the years we've been working to show that we can do it. Cassie's a great player, but I think we could definitely support the team a little bit more.
Well, you obviously aren't one of the regular starters, but, you know, Coach wouldn't have brought you here today if you weren't an important part of the team. You know, how do you see your role on the squad? Do you try to provide some leadership on the bench even when you're not playing?
Yeah, definitely, like, in the dugout, helping people, and then along with bullpen, making sure pitchers are good and everything like that. It's probably the main place to try to help out.
Well, I know Coach told me that you're a big part of the team's positive culture. He said that you've attended every off-season workout since you were in the eighth grade. Do you take a lot of pride in that ability, you know, to show up and get your work in every day?
Yeah, I guess I would say it. You just being able to show the underclassmen that, like, showing up helps and just building that, I guess.
Well, you've obviously worked a lot with Abby over the years and have been a big part of her growth as a pitcher as well. You know, how do you think she's improved the most since you started working with her?
I'd say she's she's definitely built more on her pitchers for changeups, and now she has a drop-off coming, so it's been cool to see her development with that.
Well, that game that she had the other night, was that one of the best games you've seen her pitch?
Definitely one of the better ones, yeah.
One of the coaches was telling me the other day about, you know, what one of your other teammates has gone through. Junior Lauren Fisher is back playing now after receiving a liver, after recovering from a liver transplant. You know, and that sounds really serious. Has she been an inspiration for the rest of you? And does her situation make you really appreciate every day that you're able to get out there and do what you do?
Yeah, it definitely has. Even in school, just seeing the difference between, like, before the surgery and after, and just her confidence and being able to make the most out of the situation is definitely inspiring us all.
Well, I know you've been an academic All-State pick as well, so you clearly take your academics very seriously. Well, what are your plans for next year?
I'm going to Iowa State and majoring in genetics.
Oh, okay. That sounds like an interesting field. That's where I went to school way back in the day. I think you'll probably enjoy it up there. So, well, hey, thanks a lot for coming today, Mar. I appreciate it.
Thank
you. Yep. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Realtor Rhonda Dix, along with Ankeny softball coach Dave Bingham, and then two of his senior players, Abby Rusher and Mara Hansen. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I think we'll be focusing next week on Ankeny baseball.